Hello, Christian. Stand by for music.
Scripture and narration.
This is a different program.
It is a different program.
We wanted a special welcome to you today. Mm-hmm. Most of you know why we're here today. And this will be our last program. God has been so good to us. We've been here for 3 years now and have had the privilege to get to know the WWGH staff here and to find out what a great bunch of people they are. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you, listeners, if you've listened to this program, you'll know how great of a radio station this is. And God, our Lord, has brought these folks here to you to serve you. Now may the Lord who loves us and demonstrates that for us so abundantly bless this program today. Mm-hmm. Ours is a different program.
Yes, it is different today. We're going to start with our composer.
And why don't we? I think I hear a train, Brian.
Is that the train I hear? Could it be drawing near? Could it be the Heaven Express? If the Lord came today, could you say I'm ready for the Heaven Express?
If I should die tomorrow,
or you, my Christian friend, someday we'll be together forever and ever.
But by every word that comes out of the mouth of the Lord. So there it is again.
All aboard, they call. Jesus paid it all. He's the ticket for the Heaven Express.
And you are blessed on the Heaven Express.
I know we are.
Yes, we are blessed on the Heaven Express. Dear listeners, tonight, instead of reading about other people that wrote these songs, I am going to actually read the song lyrics myself. And that is because this song is dedicated to my husband, and they are his favorite songs, and I think they best express him. The first song is Be Thou My Vision. Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me save that thou art. Thou my best thought by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Be thou my wisdom and thou my true word. I ever with thee and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, and I thy true son, thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance now and always. Thou and thou only, first in my heart. High King of Heaven, my treasure thou art. High King of Heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's joys, O bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all. Be thou my vision. And I'm going to follow that with a song that we all know. And it's called It Is Well With My Soul. Be thou my vision, it is well with my soul.
Thank you.
Why don't you go ahead and introduce the next segment of our program?
He doesn't have a mic.
Okay.
So I will if you want me to, or you can.
Please, yeah. Do that, dear.
Okay, I will. On that same Thursday from the program that we aired just an hour before, when we had Pastor Josh Haas and Pastor Tim Pasma from the LaRue Church over at our home, they had a couple of questions that they wanted to ask Paul. And so he's going to share his faith through this interview of questions and answers.
That's right. Now, 2 weeks I got interviewed, that's different.
Yes, it is.
Paul, tell me this. How has your walk with Christ prepared you for this stage of life?
It's interesting, is it not, that we don't grow up old? In other words, when we're born, we're not 70.
Yeah.
In fact, I wrote a song called I'm So Glad I Didn't Get Old Overnight. God knows what he's doing. God is the great creator. Anybody who lived to be as old as some of us begins to realize how impressive his creation is. He's a masterful God. He's one powerful God. He even knows the days of our life. So what was the question?
How's your walk with Christ prepared you for this stage in your life?
That was a memory joke.
That was a good one.
But the reason, how has he prepared for this stage of life? I think that it's been I have always accepted death, even when I was a little child. One of the things that God did for me when I was a young child is he made me the sickly child on the block. So, you know, if there were a few of us, and if any of these children come around, the other kids scattered, I had to laugh in church Sunday, Josh. One of the little girls who was a visitor, I think, had never seen me before. And I heard her say, "Is that the sick old man?" I was just listening. So then she says, "If I touch him, will I get sick?" Well, God teaches us in life what he wants to prepare us for, especially when he has his special purpose for the one person in the world who could fulfill that purpose. He created you for whatever it is he wanted to use you for. Absolutely. How has he prepared? All my life. Every step of the way. The death of my wife was the biggest one, though, of my wife, Carol. I cried every day for a year. And yet, you'll know this is true. Folks, I'm not bragging. I'm not saying, don't be following this old fool's footsteps. He'll just get you in trouble. So you find the Christ, to follow and go to his words. He's your teacher. But that lesson that I learned in a year of tears was real.
Yeah.
Well, I have a related question.
Okay.
How has your diagnosis and your current health, how has it affected your faith? So sort of in the reverse of Tim's question. Not how has God prepared you through faith to handle life now, but my question is, how is life as you now live it? How is it affecting your faith? What's rising to the surface? What's being strengthened?
More than anything else, I am overwhelmed by the kindness and faithfulness of my brothers and sisters in Christ. Therefore, knowing how clear that has become in my mind and my heart, I'm overwhelmed by the love of God. I know in my maturity that that doesn't come from the devil, and I know it doesn't come from the world. You don't see that kind of response anymore. In fact, I was in the hospital recently, and I heard a conversation take place, and heard the nurse ask this patient if his wife was taking good care of him. Just a natural conversation with someone who's sick. And I heard him say to her in a lowered voice, "My wife left."
Wow.
And from what I understand from conversations that God has sent my way in the past, even from hospice nurses and different people, that's a common occurrence. What we're seeing about God's care for us in these horrible times of Satan's attack is the mercy and marvelous miracles we see in those who have followed Christ and can still fight the fight. Maybe you're the wife and has to handle a sick husband. And all I can say to my wife is, "Thank you, dear. I love you. And so far, you're doing a good job." Oh, folks, I wish I could tell you what a sweetheart she is. I'm glad you put that in here, because I'm going to talk a little bit later on, folks, about a little. I have four science fiction books, about halfway done. A book of devotion, it's almost done. Books and books. And one of the little books I want to write is a little booklet called A Sovereign God. Mm-hmm. And it would be highlighting from the day I was born. Besides, I was born a twin. And both of us, my sister and myself, both of us, each of us, laid less than 2 pounds. Isn't that what she told us the other day?
Yeah,
and we were in an incubator. And you know, Brian, we were in an incubator, and I thought I was going to come out a chicken. Does that answer some of your questions?
Yeah, it did. Yeah. So, and your answer reminded me of 1 John chapter 4. It says, "Whoever loves has been born of God, because love is from God. And when we love each other, it perfects love, God's love, and it casts out all fear." And so I see that testimony that you're seeing God's love from his people, not just in your answer, but I see it in your confidence.
Understand this. When you cried for a year, because, and I told God, I'm not sure I finished this question, but I told God, and I've told other brothers and sisters in Christ, I never asked God why. I never asked God why he took my first wife back to him. I do know this, though. Once she went to be with God, she'd never want to come back here.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't want her to either. So, Glenna, when I'm gone, leave me alone. And my prayer for you folks to pray for me is, number one, that I finished the race well. Mm. I want to do that. And there was a night here right where we're sitting right now, where I paced back and forth probably 12 hours, or I couldn't catch my breath. And some of you folks out there have been there. not being able to breathe is you can't lay down and breathe. You can't breathe standing up very well, although that's the best means I could, was to walk back and forth. And even sitting in a chair won't work for you. Well, that gets pretty scary. That gets pretty personal. That's more than I'd ever experienced. But you know, there's brothers and sisters who have gone on to give their own lives in a horrifying situation who followed the will of God. And I wouldn't want to have it any other way. I just want strength and courage to do that.
Okay. Here's my second question. We all leave behind a legacy. We all do. What do you want yours to be? What's the legacy you want to leave behind?
To put on my tombstone, I've already instructed my wife, Jessica Lycus, to put a salt shaker on top of my tombstone.
Yes, the salt shaker. Yep.
Are you having trouble breathing?
I have a cough.
I hear it,
It's okay.
And the legacy, I could write, I told you I wasn't feeling good. No, it don't work. That's a fun thing to think about. Yeah. What would you write? Well, in fact, if you look at my tombstone, you'll see it. You know what it is?
I've seen it, but I don't remember it.
You remember? I have something written on my tombstone. Now it'll apply to Carol, who's already with the Lord. It'll apply to me, and it'll apply to you, brother. And it goes like this. Thank God we knew. Thank God we knew. Then it quotes 2 Corinthians 5:21.
Yeah.
Thank God we knew. 2 Corinthians 5:21. What does God tell us in that verse? Is I'm so grateful to know that he became sin, that in him I might become the righteousness of God. Mm-hmm. That's my epitaph.
That's good. That's good.
I should have learned to spell better, though.
All right, Paul, I guess my last question then is, it dovetails in a way with Tim's, you know, he's talking about what you hope to leave behind in terms of legacy. And I want to ask you about, like you were just saying, when I'm gone, don't bother me. I'll be in a better situation. So what do you imagine life will be like on the other side with our Lord? What do you imagine you'll be experiencing when you leave here?
Well, there aren't a whole lot of things in Scripture that give us where my imagination takes me when I think about what's on the other. I see a big bowl of M&Ms.
Yeah, okay.
In all seriousness, I love to go there because, in the first place, I have a good memory. I've never had a good memory. Do you remember the class that I taught for the in Lay Root Bible 101?
Yeah.
I've taught that class for 5 or 6 years now. I forget how many. And yet, we only got a couple of chapters or a couple of books, Genesis and Exodus. It takes me such a long time to memorize Scripture and get the facts right. So I intentionally covered biblical truths like that. The fact that I don't have a very good memory and I'm not the best teacher. But in eternity, do you think we'll have enough time to catch up with the rest of the students?
I know we'll be content with whatever we're able to do.
I know when I was a freshman in high school and we were introduced to algebra, I was still in basic handwriting 101.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, what's contained in it, by the way?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You see, we're getting back into handwriting now. That's the upcoming thing. Hmm. Way to go, kids. Way to go, teachers. And what else? What else we'll be able to do in heaven? No pain.
No pain.
These are things we know. No suffering.
Mm-hmm.
No vision problem. No glaucoma. It's probably the biggest fruit pies you ever saw in your life coming down to tea. I do have questions like, will we still have steak and potatoes? Someone said it to me the other day, and they put it in a way that I've said it for years, but when it was said, it was so clear to me. Maybe you remember, dear, who told us it. But we were talking about that very same thing. She asked me that question. What do you see heaven to be like? One of the things she said, there'll be no marriage in heaven. There's neither marriage nor given in marriage in heaven, which gets me off the hook, which is really refreshing. But it's, if there's neither marriage nor given in marriage in heaven, where will we live or who will we live with? This woman said, there's a mansion over the hilltop waiting for you, Paul. Do you remember who that was? And then she went on to say, not only is that true, but if you want, your first wife can be with you, and your second wife can be in the same mansion with her owner's husband. Do you understand that? I'm not sure that came out clearly.
Yeah.
You know, she lost her husband with cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and there wouldn't be a problem.
So relationships change. Human relationships between humans can be close without being no envy, no threats, no...
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, perfect.
Yeah.
In fact, that's exactly what I heard.
Yeah.
That your worst relationship here on earth will be better than any relationship you ever had here on this earth.
Hmm.
And since there's neither marriage nor given in marriage, that's not going to be a problem either.
Hmm.
Imagine seeing Jesus. Imagine being invited or inviting Jesus to your house for a moonberry pie or something. Will there be
a lot of food in heaven.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll see Brian coming. I'll say, Brian, did you bring me some more salt?
Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks, Paul.
God bless.
It was a good time. It was a good time.
Thank you, listeners. May the one who blesses bless you much.
All of a sudden, we have a studio full of people. Matter of fact, I think the audience will recognize a lot of these voices as well.
Well, it could be. It's interesting because we were just sitting in the other room, and I think everybody who's here tonight, which is our WWGH radio family, has had some connection with this program, the Heaven Express, over the last 3 years and 1 month that it's been on. I know Adam has engineered it. Sean has engineered it. I've engineered it. I've guested. I guested back in March. Marge has been on. Marge was last April. She was on when we first came to the station. Linda has been on a couple times. And Paul has been on Linda's show, I believe, in the early days of the station. And Paul has been on Charlie's show. And we've all been at the Christmas parties together.
That's right.
Everybody who's here, Adam, John Kraft, Marge Hazlett, Linda Sims, and Charlie Evers. And it is a family.
Yes.
You know, WWGH is a family. we've worked at some radio stations, Charlie, where it was, you know,
where it wasn't,
hit the door and never see the people again. But we have Christmas parties here. We do come on each other's shows. We do listen to the station, and we do have a lot of fun. And so, knowing that this was going to be the final episode, we all wanted to come in and express our gratitude and thanks. And Adam, you go first. You, Paul composed a song for your program, I believe.
Yes, Paul, I refer to him as the Paul the Protestant piano player, or Marian's minister of marvelous, magical music. Paul, the song that you wrote, and I kind of helped you write, is just awesome. I play it a lot, as you probably know by listening. I often hum it in the shower and while I'm driving.
We had a technical problem, that's all. Did we ever get that worked
out? Oh, yeah. The sound is marvelous. And your immaculate piano playing and vocals, it is cool. And it pretty much sums up what Adam the computer guy does. You know, if it's a tech problem, I try to fix it, or at least I pretend to fix it. And if I can't, well, there's always a sledgehammer. or the nearest open window. So, you know, don't want to take myself too seriously, but I do pride myself on attention to detail and an attempt to solve a problem. Paul and Glenna, the show you've had on for, I guess it's 37 months, I was always pretty good at math, is unique. I mean, it's entertaining. I mean, you break out into song and then become serious and kind of go back and forth. And I think it appeals to many different people. I think everybody comes away from the show learning a little bit, giggling a little bit, because, you know, the world's a tricky place.
Can you imagine the emotions that can be found in music?
Music is the universal language.
You can't even understand the words or a language, maybe, and understand the sorrow or the feeling or whatever they're trying to.
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting, Paul, that you bring that up, because I think of songs in general. Some can make you cry, but others can make you laugh, depending on the words or the melody, or the purpose, situation.
Come give me gas.
And the myriad theme songs you've done for us, Paul, sometimes a couple different versions, and the one for the Exchange Club, we provide all the names. Maybe Terminal Wrinkles, maybe Hillary's Hair.
That's pretty good, yeah.
Charlie, that comes from you.
Charlie?
Yeah, that reminds me, before I came, I had a call from Hillary. And she said, be sure you tell Paul I didn't say hello.
What did Mary Ellen have to say about that?
That's an interesting point. Charlie, all the years on radio, 60 plus, did you ever have a theme song?
No.
When you came here, in the initial, it was a fiddle. We had a fiddle playing.
Yeah.
And then one day, we just snuck it in. I don't even think we told Charlie we were going to do it. And that song has become a staple. Sean sings that. I've heard people sing that song.
I sing it all the time.
It's really a
hip-hop theme song.
Well, Charlie, I'm hoping that the fruitcake song will become a regular hit.
Another one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah.
Started last year over a conversation. Sean, you engineered many of the Heaven Express shows in the early days.
I did. And, you know, when I first met you, Paul and Glenna, you know, you guys are like really family to me. You guys, when I was having surgery and stuff like that, and you guys was there for me and offered me to take care of me. So that was, you guys are family to me, so. And I always enjoyed. Sorry, I couldn't do too many of your shows because of my work schedule and stuff, but I enjoyed it. I sure did. It was fun. And, of course, you know, you guys are both good. I listen to your songs, your shows all the time, and the theme songs. It's just amazing. So.
Well, God has gifted me. God, the scripture tells us that God gives everyone gifts. Yes, you know this. As well as I do, figure out what they are, develop and use them to glorify He who has given what He gives you to you. That's God's goal, for you to glorify Him. And God gave me so many gifts, and yet one of them that stands out is creativity, music, and some might say, a little sense of humor.
I believe so.
That's right.
Well, and speaking of theme songs, not only Charlie's, not only one of Adam's, Marge's theme song is performed, created, composed by Paul Savage, and Marge has been a guest. So, Marge, what are your memories and thoughts?
I'll put you on the spot. Can you sing it?
Do I sing?
Can you sing your theme song?
No, I cannot.
But she knows when she hears it.
Yes, I know it when I hear it.
Yes.
Right. And I really love it. And I thank you so very, very much.
It's a gift from God to me to you.
To you. Thank you so much.
Well, and I believe this is true. I believe Paul's voice first appeared on this station on a guest of Voice of a People. I think that predated the Heaven Express program. Linda Sims is the host of that. I think Paul was on two times, and then you've been on their show a couple times.
Right. Absolutely.
So, what are your memories of those exchanges?
Well, you know, I don't even remember how we met, but it was when we were located in the Southland Mall. Mm-hmm. And he came by, and I think he talked to you, talked to me. I don't even know how it went by, but anyway, I told him he could come and be on my show because we were trying different things, and I love music anyway. And he brought his organ next time we came, and I enjoyed it. I'm sure everybody else did too. And then one time I called him because I didn't have anybody be on my show, and I would call him to come in, and then I met Glenna on the phone. And she just acted like she had knew me. Oh, Linda, and like, you know, and that, you know, that is making a large statement because it was like we were family, connected already in a way. Yeah, we'd love to do that. And so, and then next I knew, oh, by the way, where's my theme song? Everybody got a theme song but me.
Well,
but that's okay.
You want to tell you better. Hurry up.
That's right.
Well, Charlie, you know, your theme song and the fruitcake song originated out of a conversation you, I, and Paul back at Christmas, I believe, 2 years ago. Yeah. And those songs are fun because you can't hear them anywhere else.
Yes, and I heard some famous person recently interviewed. They said, what's one of your favorite things? And this person said, A fruitcake.
Fruitcake.
I said, hey, all right.
They must be nuts.
No.
No taste buds.
No, there's no. Well, yeah, there are some nuts in some fruitcakes.
Well, that one had been in the refrigerator, so somebody gave him. You could use it for a club.
We do. We have that eggnog and the fruitcake that's been in the refrigerator for about 3 years now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's growing. It's turned green now. Yeah.
It was green when it came. It was green when it came.
Don't anybody open up that refrigerator.
Oh. Oh, really? Yeah. The hidden gem here at your station. Well, it's funny because I remember after the election of 2016, because one of the lyrics of Charlie's song is Hillary's hair. And
I can understand why he wrote that, because her hair was rather unkempt. She needed a hairdresser badly. And that might have been one of the reasons she didn't quite make it.
If she'd have only had different hair.
And I was afraid when she came to Marion, she was going to come in and burn the studio down.
Well, see, they don't do it to men, do they, Linda? They don't do it to men. They don't do it to men.
One of the things you could do, Charlie, is listen to the response of the people that you're broadcasting with. When I heard Mary Ellen get to you on that one, I knew that was a subject we had to put down.
Yeah.
Well, and terminal wrinkles.
Oh, yes.
Terminal wrinkles. But we had talked after the election, because Hillary obviously was not going to be the president, about, well, should we take out that lyric? And you can't. I mean,
no.
It's just.
But she does have a permanent snare now.
Wait a minute, Charlie. I hear a new lyric.
A permanent snare. Yeah.
Snare in your hair.
Yes,
there you go.
The snare is near. Dear,
I when Hillary came to town, I think she was looking for you, Charlie. Yeah. She couldn't find you that day.
Well, she would have. I would have referred her to Paul.
Paul, that's right. Get to the hairdresser. Well, you know, Sean, it has been interesting these years. And to have a show, a three-year run in radio is a long time. And I've heard Paul say in the last few interviews that this was you wanted to be on radio since you were a child.
Yeah, 9th, 10th grade high school. But then I discovered there's no money there. And, you know, how can you raise a family? This has always been a family-oriented show. And I've always had a wonderful love for my Lord. And God revealed to me pretty early that it wasn't a place to raise a family. I also knew that I loved the Air Force, too. But I also realized that, too, Charlie, wasn't a place to raise a family. So God moved me on to where he would have me be. And all these years later, a servant of God brought me to you guys. And I thank him with all my heart.
Well, and I do want to say that, because I don't want to leave this off, one of the integral parts that we've all been a part of at one point or another are the Christmas parties we've had, which Paul and Glenna are a gigantic part of. Glenna plays the piano or the keyboard, whichever we've had available with us, and Paul would sing, and we'd all sing together. And those Christmas parties, they're a lot of fun, Charlie.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, and they shall continue on. We've always had... Marge, you expressed the fun you've had at those parties.
Oh, I've had a great time there. Yeah. It's been wonderful.
And Linda, you've been at some of those? Yeah, we sat together at the last one. Well, I guess
what
is we've had good food at those parties? Oh, my. We do. And I know listening is Patty Worcester, who came to the last one, and she's come. And Terry Tackett, I guess, wasn't able to make it today, but I know he expresses the same positive thoughts as everybody else does. And that is, I think, very interesting, because it is a family. You use that word a lot. And sometimes it's not the places you go and do work, but this certainly always has been. And I think today that's an expression of that. And to know that your program has done that and has been recorded and will be there forever is a very nice thought.
It is.
And, you know, and it's touched a lot of lives, too. I have a lot of people that I run into, listen to it, you know. And you top it, your theme song, what kicks it off. You know, it's just a wonderful, you guys sing it live, and it's just it's a wonderful theme song that you come up with. I don't know the whole lyrics, but I like it.
Yeah, and it's great that things like they're on the website. People can access them
forever.
Forever.
Yeah.
So it's evergreen. And, you know, I know I met Paul very early on, right after the station opened, and I'm so glad that meeting happened. And, you know, it's no secret. Paul has Lou Gehrig's disease, and it's interesting because it's obviously named after Lou Gehrig, the famous baseball player, for people who don't know that. And his speech, when he announced that he had it, he said he was the luckiest person on the face of the earth. And I think we're the lucky people to have come in contact with you, Paul, and Glenna, and Brian, and everybody who's come around. So thank you from the bottom of all our hearts. Thank you. And, you know, we're going to give you something you deserve, and then you can close how you want. But I think applause
for Paul and Glenna and the work they've done.
Praise the Lord. Few people have the opportunity to sit in front of broadcasters and be able to talk to them face to face. Charlie, I talked to you years ago when you had a farm hour.
Yes.
Way in the morning. My father-in-law, my first wife's father, him and his family, I've told you this before, started the day. I would have much seen them start the day in prayer, but they always ran to the radio to listen to Charlie. And Linda and Margie, did I get that right?
Yeah.
and you all have had situations on the radio that not only came as a surprise, but came as a lesson. I'm going to give you a couple examples of that. And maybe you can think some lessons that you learned from our listening audience. I wanted to apologize tonight to a family. Some of the first guests we ever had on this program, if you remember, we had a music format to begin with. And I liked so much what I heard about the potential to share stories and lives with different people that I decided I'd like to try that format. So I heard about this group of singers. Somebody help me if I've got it wrong here.
Highfields.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was the Highfields. And their, what do you call it type of music?
Bluegrass.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had a lot of family members in my own family that love bluegrass. And, but I never did. But I kept getting this feedback from God that you need to have these Highfields on your program. And they did great music. So I called him, and I talked to him about his music. In fact, then I decided to go take him out. We had lunch together. And in that conversation, I said to him, you know, I don't know anything about your family group. But I said, after our conversation here today, I don't think I'm going to do this. I don't think I'm going to have you and your family on the program. That was our first studio, if I'm not mistaken. And I could tell he was terribly disappointed. And so was I, because I knew at that point I had made a mistake. I had made a bad mistake. And the Lord convicted me to go back and apologize to him before, ask him to forgive me because what I did wasn't right. They came, his family, come on our program. Mm-hmm. I love their music.
They were wonderful.
I love their music. I love to listen to it today. And we've had them on several times. But you see, that was a mistake where I could learn something from.
I saw those Highfield girls grow up on Channel 39. They were on there regularly. Huh. Yeah, they started out as playing different instruments, and really, as they got older, they were better and better.
I did not engineer a lot of these programs, but I was there that night. I engineered the night they came in, and I was blown away by how just great they were. What a great group they were.
You know, I have to say this. It's been a good run, and I am going to miss you guys very much. And
we're going to miss you.
Yeah, yeah, it's
miss the family.
Yeah, so it's been a good long years, and it's been, I love listening to you guys, and you know your shows will be going on forever. So, you know, we'll be playing them for you in archives, and so thank you very much for all the hard work you guys did for us.
I know that not everybody here is. By the way, does any of you have any experiences on the radio that you'd want to share about mistakes you made and it matured you? You see, that's the way we mature in life. And God takes those lessons he gives us. You can either fall and tumble more, or you can mature from God's mercy and grace.
Yeah, I got a mistake for you, Paul. Well, Scott and everybody,
I knew you'd go first.
I have to do that.
Go ahead. Everybody sit back. This could be a while.
I'm going to tell you before you even get going.
Yeah.
I've already talked to him about treating you better.
thank you, Paul. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, yeah, they were in PA, and I couldn't get a hold of nobody. They were broadcasting live from there.
Pittsburgh.
And Charlie was here in the studio with me. And couldn't get a hold of nobody. So, you know, I just made a decision because it sounded horrible coming across. Did it, Charlie?
Yeah.
And so I just took it back to the studio and never went back to him. Scott's like, well, why do you...
The show we did there was fantastic in front of nobody.
He chewed
me
out for days.
It was the greatest show you've ever heard.
He chewed me out for days. So I had to tell that story.
But it was a fantastic... Well, you know, the I make big mistakes all the time. But Charlie, you know what's funny? You and I have both done this. We'll sometimes give our home phone numbers when we're giving the station number on the air.
Ooh.
And you think... Oh my goodness, what did I just do? I've done that many a time.
I guess Linda was
that. Yeah, go ahead, Linda.
I just want to say thank you. I enjoyed myself at the birthday party for your husband and his twin sister.
Yeah, I'm so glad you came.
Oh, I was too. I had a ball there, and I ate so much food, and everything was excellent. The limeade, and I don't know if anybody's had that. It was my first time having that, and it was just delicious. And the lemonade, and just thank you so much for your love that you have showed each and every one of us. I'm so sure you have. Yeah. And God bless you.
He does.
But it's you know, you learn. You learn as you go.
That's right.
Oh, my.
Yeah. All right, Scott, now you can tell your... you had many of them.
I do. My biggest mistake was the day Sean never turned us on from Pittsburgh. And we did a whole show in Pittsburgh to nobody. And I just thought that was the biggest mistake ever made. So nothing I could top that with.
Did you record it?
I thought it was being recorded.
Yeah, that's...
It never got recorded?
That's that famous blank tape.
That's a big... But boy, the show they got there in Pittsburgh, it was tremendous.
Sean, what he doesn't realize is there was probably something catastrophic going to happen, and you're working, and the Lord worked through you, saved his neck.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, you all, thank you so much for your support. You know how Grant and I have emphasized family, his family. What does a man have, Charlie, if he lived his whole life to be 100 years old and don't have any family? Now, sometimes that happens.
That's right.
By God's will. But sometimes that happens for reasons that would teach us how important our families really are. I'd like to think that's the case in our relationship. Thank you. God bless you. I want to thank my wonderful son, Brian, and his wife, for all their support. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to say to you listeners out there, thank you for listening. And I always would tell my friends this. We didn't have any open phone lines. We never went that format. But if we had had open phone lines, I would have asked if you liked the program, to call us. If you didn't like the program, don't call us.
That's right.
You got it. That's right.
You got it.
Yeah.
Adam, thank you very much. Good to see you. Come on to the team.
Thank you all so much for coming in tonight.
Our pleasure.
What a blessing.
That's all, folks.
May you have God's blessing every day. Praise be to the Father, the Spirit, and the Son. In our lives, might your will be done.
God bless. Good night.